good morning, Bay Area.
All right. Well, good morning. This is Radical Perspective, 104.1 on your dial, Berkeley Liberation Radio. And we got a program for you. This time we have a program with a real purpose. We, in fact, everybody in this room is actually at Raleigh, and I would say the historic Raleigh that took place Thursday. And we're going to tell you every little nook and cranny as to what happened, how it happened, and why it happened. And we'll have old Jack Bryson is about to call in and let us know what was going on up there in L.A., because there was stuff happening in L.A. You know what? Sometimes I start feeling good about myself. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I stop thinking about dying and shit like that. Listen, you know what? We got people organized for Oscar Grant in Seattle. So just said all over the world. And I got proof. Central to all organizing, struggle, and resistance is the question of leadership. I think in order to develop leadership, or to relate to leadership, or to reject leadership, what you have to kind of get a sense of the people who are actually running stuff. What are they really like? What do they think? Well, you're about to find out. Listen to this. Quote, "Don't get used by these protesters," unquote, says a man who was paid to drop his old black dude who went to prison wisdom on a group of Oakland youth. Quote, "Don't get pimped. You kids are too stupid to analyze the system. You don't need to get angry. It's just the agitators who want to use you to legitimize themselves," he continues in the city-funded nonprofit's main room, while a police negotiator sits quietly in the corner. So they dug up some old crackhead motherfucker telling the children that they stupid. This is the nonprofits, y'all. "Don't get used by these protesters," says this man who was paid. He was paid to drop his old black dude, went to prison, wisdom on a group of Oakland youth. "Don't get pimped. You get pimped every day. But he gonna come and tell you now when it's time to struggle. When it's time to cast your lot in with the receiver. Don't get pimped. You kids are too stupid to analyze the system. You don't need to get angry. It's just the agitators who want to use you to legitimate themselves." He continues in the city-funded nonprofit's main room, while a police negotiator sat in the corner. "I'm hitting you kids with some real wisdom here," says the crackhead. "I'm an older black man, so don't question me about this." Where do they get this scum?
Join in any minute. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I'm taking off the gloves on shit like that.
Take them off.
Talking to the young people like that. Look, it is obviously true. Now let's get this.
Hold on. Some of the stupid part. This man, you know, the writer is taking it. I don't think this man called him stupid.
Yes, he did.
No, I think that's the writer. The writer, I think that's the writer's, like, you know, sarcastic emphasis on that one. But I think he was talking to the kids about don't get pimped, some of that stuff.
Why you want to edit Bloodshot?
I'm not saying I'm going to edit. I don't think that...
You don't think he's going to be that bold?
I doubt he would have said...
Crackheads is bold. That's why they go get crackheads. Crackheads is bold.
All right.
And in fact, anybody to go in front of the young people when the shit is about to break out and run their mouth better come up with something hard. So he just went for it. And I bet you, I believe that that's the way he felt. And I believe that's the way the mayor feels.
I believe that's definitely the way they really think about these youth.
They just not honest enough to say it, you're saying.
Right.
Okay, well, let's
But
continue.
This man just like interpreted what they were saying as,
let's see,
you are too stupid to even
let's
think
see.
Fuke should be out there.
Well, let's see. Let's see. So don't question me about this. I believe it. I believe it.
No,
I've seen
I
people come pretty close to saying that in some of our meetings. Close to. And then we put them in check.
Okay.
But close to it. This is a part of a campaign between local Oakland community nonprofits, Mayor Ron Dellums, and the Oakland Police Department to keep the peace after Mesley's verdict is announced. Their strategy? Tell the youth of Oakland that they actually are too stupid to be angry over the killing of Oscar Grant III on the Fruit Bill BART platform last January. Quote, the real blame falls on the political groups, says a local nonprofit director. They want to use these naive, stupid little children for their, quote, revolution, unquote. But they're not from Oakland. I'm from Oakland. When asked about the fact that most of the Oakland Police Department are not from Oakland, he brushed it off. I don't care if the police are murdering kids, he says. The outside agitators are the real threat here. Oscar Grant's family wants peace, so that makes the police okay in my book. This is the nonprofit talk. I'm trying to tell you, you might, you know, see, old brother Shane over here saying, couldn't nobody be that reactionary? Couldn't nobody be that ineffective and stupid? But you want to know something? In times of crisis, the gloves come off, the masks fall, and you'd be surprised what people say and do.
I hope this is a little bit of writer sarcasm, to be honest.
No.
This old fool's talking that shit.
No, well, they talk it. Now, here goes the writer. He says, police officials have assured the public that a quiet, orderly demonstration will be tolerated. But any property damage will be met. Oh, thank you. Will be met with swift, Mesley-style execution. We like freedom of speech, says the Oakland Police Department spokesman. But we have a job, and that job is to keep Oakland's stupid youth from revolting. Since we can't openly treat them like the animals we know they are, we have to shift the blame to someone. So why not the groups that advocate revolution? So we thought there's white people in these groups. We could just call them outsiders, and the brutal police of our police state will fade to the back of the people's minds. Brilliant. It seems on the day of the verdict, the tensions will be high. But will Oakland's youth prove to be as stupid as city officials say? Only time will tell. You know what? I got you. I think you're right. Even my opponents, who I look down upon, hold in contempt, and spit on their grave, couldn't be this bad. I think homeboy, added a little bit. But still, it's interesting.
But that's not what he wrote is not far from how they thought about this, because they didn't give three shits for the 18, 19 months leading up, and then, you know, last second they come in. And now they're concerned about justice for Oscar Grant, allegedly. But we know all they're concerned about is the property downtown and it not getting destroyed. Now, unfortunately, the involuntary manslaughter did not prevent any property from being destroyed.
As I was saying, there's a few things that need to be addressed here. In terms of the overall perspective, okay? In terms of overall perspective, I think it's important to say the following. No, to me, that's nice. And that is, number one, people run around talking about he got off, that Mesley got off because he was convicted of involuntary manslaughter. I think not only is that technically incorrect, it misses the whole thrust of what actually occurred. While it is true that most of the people who struggle for justice for Oscar Grant overwhelmingly are opposed to the verdict and feel that Mesley should have been found guilty of murder, at the same time, I'm going to have to just flash on you and say, when's the last time a white racist police officer was incarcerated for killing a black person? Answer that, and then we can begin our conversation. You understand? It was a limited victory. The fact that Mezzali was indeed convicted and sent to prison. A limited victory. In the real world of struggle, you don't, nothing is pure and clean and nice and just the way you want it. You get things that come to you in parts and bits. You get a small step forward. You get two steps back sometimes. So, just using our heads here, we have to understand that Mezzali is going to prison. This is a limited victory. This does not take away the fact that a man is dead. An innocent man, Oscar Grant III, is dead. No, it doesn't take that away. It doesn't make that right. Okay? So we've got a man that is dead. And you know what? That's not good. And I would add, it does not soothe the pain and the rage that exists in our community about these facts. And that pain and rage was expressed from the platform provided the community by the Coalition for Justice for Oscar Grant at 14th and Broadway. I'm going to give you more on that. Shane, would you like to get in here with something?
It doesn't take away, you know, I think Gerald is for sure correct where he says that it is a limited victory. He did get convicted. He heard the word guilty. And they took him into custody right afterwards, which I thought was interesting. But it doesn't also take away from the fact that this was typical of this justice system, where it was at the most they were willing to do is involuntary manslaughter, and they probably didn't want to do that. But unfortunately, it went to the jury, and juries, you know, although this one made the wrong choice, I believe, because there's nothing involuntary about pulling the trigger. There's nothing involuntary about pulling your firearm from its holster. So every way, shape, and form, this was a voluntary act, so at the least, he should have got voluntary manslaughter. However, Gerald's right, it is a limited victory because this cop is going to jail. And he will, depending on the gun enhancement, spend a significant number of years in jail. Significant stretch of time.
Well, hope. Slow down
now. That's not for sure, but.
That's right, he hasn't been sentenced yet.
And we've also heard that the sentencing has been pushed back for whatever reason to maybe even September. So we got to be looking out. We got to be paying attention out there. Because that'll be the next thing that we need to start making some demands that this man serve at least 10. You know, I think 10 years. Now, maybe he won't spend that much time in prison. He'll get out for whatever kind of behavior. But 10 years is the least he should have to spend in jail.
You mean his sentence should be?
Sentence should be 10 years. At least. Really, it should be 20.
Okay. But very important that we don't let it get lost in all of our anguish and anger about how light the sentence, the conviction, you know, the actual charge that he was convicted of might be from our perspectives. Pig going to jail.
Pig is going to jail.
We raise the demand, jail killer cops. And that is what is happening here. So let's be clear. It is a step in the right direction. Don't be fooled. And yes, we still have a right to be angry. We still have a right to express our rage. We still have a right to want more. Of course. But don't be fooled. In fact, Shane, why don't you share this about the feds, please?
Oh, yeah, the feds are stepping in. They're concerned about justice in this case. Federal officials say they will investigate the fatal shooting of an unarmed black man by a white police officer on an Oakland train platform to determine whether the case warrants federal prosecution. former Bay Area Rapid Transit officer Johan Mezerle was convicted Thursday of involuntary manslaughter in the death of 22-year-old Oscar Grant on New Year's Day 2009. The U.S. Department of Justice says the review will be conducted by its Civil Rights Division, the U.S. Attorney's Office in San Francisco, and the FBI. Oh, great. The verdict touched off violent protests in Oakland. Not violent protests, people. These were not violent. Maybe a few cases of violence, okay. But where the case has inflamed racial tensions, prosecutors had sought a second-degree murder conviction. So the feds have said they've been looking at this the entire time. We've heard from Oscar Grant's family that they have been in touch with representatives for Eric Holder and the like. And I don't really know what that's going to do. I don't know if they can try him in federal courts. Maybe they can. That'd be great. Put him in federal prison. And maybe they'll actually charge him with murder in the federal courts. I don't know. But what I do know is that the people of Oakland stood up again and said, nah, this is not what we're really looking for as far as justice in this case. No, thank you, involuntary manslaughter. You can keep it. And so Oakland had a nice little rally downtown, 14th and Broadway. Started off around about 6 p.m. Then people really started gathering about around 5 after the verdict was read. And the big crowd started showing up. And I'd say all in all, there was at least all night, at least 2,000 people around there. At least. Maybe even 3. So there was, of course, there was a little bit of intense moments in the beginning. I think the police may have sent in some of their provocateurs to touch off something. And see, so what people need to kind of understand about the police is that they're always trying to do these underhanded things in order to divide up the potential for mass gatherings. So there was a bus down there, and then some of their little provocateurs got in the way of the bus. And so that kind of drew the attention away from the mic, away from the stage, and put it right there. So right there you have people listening to this, people listening to that. And then the bus, of course, started backing up, and the police were in there. And then everyone's like now rushing toward the police. They want to square off against them. And so that kind of did the job of the dividing. They divided it up from the beginning. Like right at 6 o'clock, there was, people had went down to confront the police line and left the other people up and listening to the speakers. It would have been nice to maintain a solid mass of people. You can see how many people we could get down there. But then it became kind of two fronts. People who were listening to the speaker, people who were down there yelling at the cops. And that's okay, because the cops, you know, I think there's a lot of stuff they need to hear. And I know we had some really good people down there telling them about themselves, which was good.
Yep.
All right. What's happening, brother?
All right.
Hey, you know what?
Taking this madness.
All right. How you feeling there now?
It's up and down.
Oh, well, mostly up here. We feeling up. We feeling,
yeah.
We feeling positive, because in spite of the fact that we did not get the verdict that we wanted, is a couple of things that happened on Thursday that really had us feeling good. Number one, thousands, and I do mean this, Jack, thousands of people came to our rally, and that
right.
was, I didn't expect that many, but that's what happened. In fact, they were showing up at the very end of the rally. People were still showing up. And understand this, Jack, there was not one instance of irrational, you know, violence, really. Okay, down there on the side with the RCP and the anarchists were 13th Street, where they was kind of messing with the police, people did throw a lot of bottles and rocks. And I did see people throw bottles at the cops. it's not a, an intelligent policy to act out your personal rage in a narcissistic manner and just start throwing stuff at the police. Because when your punk ass throws something at the police and then you run and duck, the police just turn around and snitch somebody.
Yeah, and most of the people they were snatching were black young men that are on parole or probation. And for being in that facility, they could be violated.
They were violated.
Yeah, I'm just talking about they could end up doing 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, whatever the probation officer feels like giving them.
Jack, it's
and they were just down there to support.
Hold on, Jack. Let me tell you something. It's not that they could. That is exactly what happened. They a percentage of the young people that were arrested were young black men on parole, and they did violate them. Brother Jack Bryson, for our listening audience, we're talking to Brother Jack Bryson. I'm Old Gerald, and my sidekick, Shane. Okay? Now, look, the media, if you watch Channel 4 particularly, which we kept on all night at my house, I had two television stations on, Channel 2, Channel 4, and I had KPFA on. And you were getting different stories from all three of these sources. So first, let's understand this, Jack. This little minor tearing up Foot Locker and breaking a window here and there, that was not the story of July 8th. You understand that?
Right.
That was not the story. The story is that our community came together and conducted themselves with dignity and shared our rage and anger at what we felt was a light sentence on Meserly.
Right.
That's what happened. Jack, you would have been proud. I wish you had have been there. And I wish I noticed that. Wait, listen to me, Jack.
Go ahead.
They did not show a single picture of our rally on the news. All they showed was people throwing stuff at the police and clowning and acting a fool.
Okay, so who do you blame? Who do you blame? You know what the media is going to focus on, and you're right. It wasn't, from what I heard, from the officials, from the police, they said it was a beautiful thing, but what, and even the media, but what overshadowed it? The motherfuckers who wanted to act a fool. That's what overshadowed it. That's why the media didn't cover it. Because what does the media do? They covered the negative, not the positive.
That's
and these
true.
Fools gave them a reason to take away from what you guys did, which everyone knows was a wonderful job.
Okay, but we should not make that mistake. So let's get started back on what actually really happened and how we wound up, how we got over. Because, Jack, I want to tell you something. In the back of my mind, I was very much afraid that if some fool had a gun and got into some mix-up with the police and pulled his little stuff out and fired, that there could have been a massacre at this rally. So our task was, number one, try to keep things level, balanced, calm, allow people to express themselves with respect. We respected our people. We trusted our people. We gave them a platform from which to express themselves. And listen, Jack, I got the pictures. The city was trying to set up Frank Oguala Plaza to undermine us and to try to steal the, you know, kind of co-op the rally. In vain. Nobody believed in them. Nobody came over today thing. Because, see, we didn't have any military authority to make people come to our rally. What you had was, as I said before, and I'm not trying to, you know, disrespect DeAndre and them, but I'm just saying, DeAndre and them set up a little sideshow down there on 13th Street, 12th Street, with the anarchists. And they had their little bullhorn out, and they talking stuff, and then... Right, and they throwing stuff, and then some of those people were throwing bottles and rocks at the police. This is a fact. I'm sorry, and I'm not calling for anyone's arrest. And I'm just saying, here's what happened, okay? Because I was sent by the coalition, because I was on the tactical team, to go down and investigate and check out what was really happening. Was this the police causing this, or what was going on? And I'm gonna say that the police were relatively restrained. We got a new police chief here, and we're going to have some trouble with this guy because he's very intelligent. And no, he is. See, unlike Dellums, who's a useless piece of feces, of human feces, the chief of police said right off the bat, every chance he got, he said Oscar Grant should never have died. Which shows a certain level of intelligence on his part. Okay? Now, I go down and check it out, and when it became clear to me that the pressure was being put on the police by, whether I like it or not, our side, a faction of our side, and that the police were not wantonly pushing people around, I talked with the police to get an understanding of what they were going to do, and I left. And the police said they were not going to break up our rally. And that's what mattered to me. Shay, would you please explain what you're saying? Please?
Here's what they did. They used their little provocateur. So some of them got in the way of the bus, right? So the bus was like standing there. All we wanted to do was get the bus out of there. We don't have a problem with public transportation. That's not our thing. We're not trying to keep a bus from taking people home. And so their little provocateurs, whether or not they're actually being paid or not, were down there in front of the bus. And Tony Coleman was yelling at him, go on, you haven't been here since the early days, go on. And so, of course, at that point, the bus started backing up. There was a police car back there also. A young woman got hit by the police car. She wasn't hurt. The provocateurs were there in the beginning. It kind of helped to divide up our little mass in the beginning, in the middle of the intersection, right? We had a nice little thing. Tony went right out there and said, this is our intersection right now. And so what happened was that the police backed up down to 13th and Broadway, and quite a few people went down there and were on their line agitating against the police. I didn't go down there, so I don't know, but people who came up to me and said that it was not just the so-called, quote-unquote, outside agitators, white anarchists, throwing bottles, all right? A lot of what was being thrown was done by a diverse mix of people. Obviously, we can't just say that there was some shit being done that shouldn't have been done at that point. No question, because there were still mamas and their children and families out there. We can't stop what goes down. Some of that is done by anger against the police, and there's nothing we can do about that. We have to make sure that they start. I mean, what we do need to do better is make sure that people aren't being arrested for no reason, and try to get in the way of that. However, in a situation like that, you can't keep people from being wrongly arrested because the police are going to do it every time.
I want to talk about what happened before that, how we built the rally, how we won over the loyalty of the masses in spite of all the little bullshit that the mayor's office tried to pull and all the money they spent trying to distract people away from our rally. And all the stuff that they tried to put. See, I think that's important too, Jack. It's so important to know that we had solidarity demonstrations for Oscar Grant in Indiana, in Fresno, California, in Seattle, Washington, all in New York City. There was people protesting on the Oscar Grant thing all over the world. So see, to me, I don't want to get stuck on stupid and just talk about one thing. I want to talk about the entire range of activity that our people participated in, because I'm proud of our young people. I think they did a good thing for the most part. And yes, they did get caught up at the end. And I'm going to explain to you how that happened. I don't know what report you received, but really, that little skirmishing down on 13th, 12th with the anarchists and then our Maoist friends and then the, what they call the hyphy hip-hop dudes, that was going on. That did happen. And yes, in that one circumstance, I will concede that the police did not just come back and start assaulting people. They took a lot of bottles and rocks. It happened. Okay, I concede. Was that good? No, we agree.
Was that done by a certain group of so-called outsiders or whatever? No.
That's right. All
everybody was down there. It was not just whoever you want to call outsiders. I guarantee you, some of those cats were from Oakland.
This is before 6 o'clock this was going on.
Right, right, right. Now, right as it started.
See, so you got to see. So what happened? First of all, I mean, I don't know how to get this across, but, you know, I got the pictures, Jack, so I'm going to show you the picture when you come home. I'm going to show you the picture of how they were setting up Frank Oglala Plaza to try to have this fake rally to take people, draw people's attention away from our rally. Why did, here's a question you have to tell me, Smarty. Why did the masses support our coalition? Why did the masses come to our rally and not get sucked into the bullshit sideshow that was happening on,
okay.
Wait a minute, let me finish. Or the mayor stuff that was going on in Frank Oglala with the
Gerald,
pictures.
That wasn't the mayor stuff, okay?
All let right, me tell you call it what you want. It was the
no,
mayor
no, no,
stuff.
Gerald, let me explain to you, Gerald.
Stop
I
making
was in
excuses
that meeting.
For these bastards.
Gerald, I was in that meeting. Let me tell you something. The mayor was backing up the community. Dean Kwan ran that show for her political purposes. Tried to underhand the mayor and do something on her own for her own agenda.
That's true.
Just like she got, hold on. Just like she got on television and said she had the support of Wanda. Wanda has acknowledged her and gave her the support. Now the mayor acts, and I went down there, me and John Burris, and asked what they could do to work with the community. Now I was there with John Burris and a lot of the top officials. Now, the chief and the mayor's people asked me what they could do to work with the community. I said, give us our space, and don't have a lot of police presence. We negotiated that. You know who Sergeant Finn is. They did everything they could to work with the community. Not one time since Oscar Grant had been murdered has Gene Kwan been involved and said anything about Oscar Grant. But her being an opportunist, this is what she wanted to do. She wants to set her own stuff up and a couple other city council people so they can do it for their own purposes, for their vote.
I would like to suggest to you that you become familiar with plausible deniability, which is a tactic that politicians use. They do one thing, and then they try to make it look like they ain't done nothing. We already know that the mayor was involved from the very beginning with these nonprofits in trying to undermine us, trying to co-opt our event, all of that. Now, that they failed, you understand, that's what matters. They failed. And so, you know, they had sense enough to back up and retreat so that they didn't look like absolute fools. Okay, I concede that they retreated. But they retreated because we beat them politically. Understand that. But Jack, share something else with us now, because you were at the trial. We would like to hear more from you. For instance, what did you experience in L.A.? Because we understand that they had a little demonstration in L.A. We want to know what happened in that courtroom when the verdict came in.
What I saw, what I experienced, is this is why they wanted an all-white jury. If you wanted a fair trial, and you said you couldn't get one in Oakland, California, but you brought it all the way to Los Angeles to give us almost an all-white jury to say involuntary manslaughter in 6 hours of negotiation. What they really wanted to do, they really wanted to give them voluntary manslaughter, but they couldn't. They just couldn't do it because race played a part of it. They couldn't bring down one of their white brothers. But what they did is give us a gun enhancement. Instead of making something that's really going to stick. They knew it was a murder of second degree, but they weren't going to do it to a white police officer. And to do it in 6 hours, that was to say, we're sticking with our own, you know what I mean? This is why they have white people on jury, to protect them. This is the whole protective system, by white jurors.
Okay. Tell me this, Jack. Would you please tell us what it was like when the verdict was rendered?
One thing I could say, throughout history, you know, there's never been a police officer taken into custody. And if the judge does what those juries ask him to do and give him that 10-year gun enhancement, plus minimum he could do is 2, 4, 6. If he gives him the gun enhancement and gives him the full 6, that's 16 years. If he gives him the gun enhancement and he gives him the 4 years, that's 14 years. If he gives him the gun enhancement with the lease, that's 2 years, that's still 12 years. So the most important part of this is the gun enhancement, which has to stick. It sticks to young black men or brown men when they're in court and facing that gun enhancement. So it should fit this one, too.
Share with us anything else that you think that we might not be aware of out here. You feel negative about our political rally because some property was destroyed? Over?
You know, so all I'm saying is don't give them a reason, you know, even though it's hard not to. And it's fucked up that most of them are on parole, probation, and they come out to try to support, and some of them have paid the price just for showing up.
And so you blame the police on that. That's the police, that's how they do, and they've been doing it for years.
But it ain't just about blame. It's about, and it ain't about, look, this is something I learned that helped me, Jack. I want to just say this in front of, you know, everybody. I had certain ideas and prejudices about the way things were going to happen and certain fears. But my confidence in my community has gone up. Because in the beginning of this rally, Jack, you got to understand this. It was chaotic. People were going down to 13th Street to see what was going on with all of this little sideshow with the RCP and the anarchists and all of the hypees and all that bullshit. And then they would come up this way. People would look over to the rally over there where they were setting up these fancy $1,000 speakers for, you know, for the city officials and the preachers and nonprofits. But you know what was really interesting? People saw all of that. They walked. We couldn't stop people from walking around and sniffing stuff out. But they came to our rally. You understand that? They rejected the stupid adventurism of the RCP and the anarchists and all that stupid shit. They rejected that. They looked at it with their own eyes. They turned around. They came back to 14th and Broadway. They rejected that phony rally that was set up by the city. They rejected that. They saw it. They looked it over. They listened. They thought. And they came on home, baby. They came on home. And I'm proud of that.
They knew what the real was, Gerald. Just
that's
like
right.
When I was...
But, Jack, can I just say something? So when you're preaching about this, and when we go around telling the stories about this, don't leave that out, please.
No,
just
don't leave that
out.
Gerald,
because our people came through. You understand?
Right.
They figured it out.
Gerald,
people was trying to
me?
Deceive them and confuse them, and they figured it out.
Gerald, what you're telling me, that's what most of the phone calls that I received while I was in Los Angeles were saying. They were saying everything was cool. And I was while I was at the rally in Los Angeles, I was getting phone calls. Everything is cool down here. But just like you said, on the corner of 13th and Broadway, I'm not going to say no names, but they were out there. I don't even know the names. But anyway, you said the RCP, that's what I was told, and whatever the other people are. They were really trying to really trying to encourage it.
No, but no, man, look, they was doing they. You know what? I'm
not mad at
the RCP. You know why? Because they was carrying on and shit. You know what? Now, Soul in here talking about she's an anarchist. But the point is, not all anarchists are the same, Soul.
Right. No, Joe, I understand it.
You know?
I understand that,
so,
Joe.
So understand this, though. Understand this and what you have to make sure, because you're going to be speaking all over, up and down the state, all around. This was a success, my brother. And I'm not going to let the media shit on our success.
Gerald.
Do you hear what I said?
I hear what you're saying. And the media, it didn't shit on your stuff. Now.
They didn't mention it, Jack.
Gerald, I'm telling you,
I'm looking at the media. They didn't even show the rally.
Okay, Gerald. Everything that's done, what good has the media show? The media doesn't thrive on good.
All right, but I'm saying...
Listen, Joe, but when you give them...
You're saying two things at one time, Jack.
Okay.
I'm saying that our job is to make sure that the workers and the community know what really happened. And what really happened is our little group, tattered, torn, you know, with all our contradictions and weaknesses... We stumbled out there. We did the best we could, and we succeeded. Now, the media did not acknowledge that. All if it bleeds, it leads. So all they showed was broken glass and crazy, you know, misbehavior.
Looted that's stores.
That's all they showed, man.
Okay.
And I resent that. You understand?
Who do you blame for that?
I understand that you're right, Jack. That's what they do. I hear you. I know
okay, so
right.
Who do you blame for that? Who do you blame for that, Gerald? If you want good coverage and you want something positive, you know what I'm saying? You don't let nothing negative interfere with the positive. And with the people who did that, they interfered with the great thing. Now, from what I was called, they had a press conference and they said Tony Coleman, Rachel, Jabari, They mentioned the names. Your name came up, that you guys did an excellent job. But the media didn't want to hear that.
No, they didn't.
They didn't want to hear it.
Jack, I'm asking you to hear that.
Jim, I hear it. I was receiving phone calls.
Well,
I hear it.
Yeah, but you are our spokesman. Just so people understand, our listening audience can understand, this ain't some brother that just fell out the liquor store with a bottle of wine in his hand. This is Brother Jack Bryson, who is the spokesman, really, for the Justice for Oscar Grant movement. He speaks for us nationally. He is invited by all manner of organizations to come and give presentations. And what he says is extremely important to us, because people not only respect him and listen to him, but he speaks with more regularity than any other member in our ranks. I think is that true, Jack?
I mean, yeah,
is that
I'm
true?
Not, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. So,
no, that, girl,
therefore, you got to get it right, buddy.
Well, Rachel, you guys, man, this ain't about me. It's about all of us, man.
But we have leaders. See, I don't play that we ain't got no leaders BS. We do have right. leaders. You understand? In the real world. And you one of them. So, straighten up and fly right.
Yeah, but I just want you to understand, Joe. I regret that I wasn't out there. But, you know, I wanted to stick with the people in L.A., who really, you know, responded, and I was owed to them. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, that's okay. That's okay. We all can be
in
the same
spot. And Age did a wonderful job. No, and I'm not. I'm just saying, Joe, if you know the media is going to focus on the negative, don't give them a reason. Now,
but wait a minute, Jack. Hold on.
What?
I'm going to say this other thing to you, because you got to hear this. Why? Here's a question you have to ask yourself.
Okay.
We decided, we voted to end the rally at 8 o'clock. Why did we decide to do that? Because in our meetings, we looked at each other and we said, look, this is what we got. This is our team. Now, we cannot physically control and direct 1,000 people if 1,000 people show up. So we got to do our thing. And then when we finish and the people get a chance to express themselves, we're going to close down our rally and you know, We'll see what happens, you know. So what happened was, when we closed down our rally, only about half of the people left. About half of the people stayed.
Lots of people stayed.
And I was wondering, you know, I was saying to myself, to be honest, Jack, why these Negroes want to stay and they know there's going to be some bullshit? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because Negroes, if we try to resist in all kinds of ways. Some of the ways we resist might even be considered ignorant, obstinate, stubborn. But you know what? Stubborn resistance is better than no resistance at all. People were not happy, Jack, with the verdict. They felt like Mesley got off. That's what they felt, Jack. That was the feeling in the street. So
I mean, I felt like that too, but then, you know, go ahead.
So what happened? Why would these Negroes, with all these damn police around here, we done shut the rally down, why they still out here? I'm going to tell you why they were still out here. One sister said it. She said they ran up on her, the news people ran up on her, and they said, why are you out here? And it had already gotten dark by this time. She said, look, I want to tell you something. The only outside agitators out here right now is the police.
That's right.
They the ones that don't live in Oakland. She said, I live in Oakland. I work in Oakland. I be in Oakland. I hang in Oakland. And I ain't going a goddamn place. This is my, that's what she said, the sister. And I looked at her and I said, boy, Negroes is crazy, but it's a good kind of crazy. Stand your ground, sis. You ain't got to go home if you don't want to. So a lot of it was people, look, they arrested attorney Walter Riley. Do you hear me? Do you know Walter Riley? Boots dad?
Yeah.
They arrested him. But nothing. Just because he was breathing while black.
Right.
Now, I'm sorry, Jack. A lot of that stuff.
No, I understand what you're saying.
They just went loco. You know, and just thought of
it. Because
they was trying to, quote, clear the streets, you know, and all of that bullshit. So they just started, and I agree with you that a lot of decent young men were arrested, and sometimes they had complications with their parole records. And it's not good. I hear you. But understand this. Our people were staying out there for the right reason.
Right.
Don't get mad at the folks because they were still militant and angry about
right. No,
percentage.
I'm not mad at that, Gerald. I'm not mad at that. You know what I'm saying? Not at all.
Okay.
Let's I'm not mad at that. And you know, I mean, you got to stand your
representing,
ground.
You're going to be representing in a little while somewhere. And when you representing, represent, goddamn. You
right.
know, don't be saying the media story over and over. Everybody heard that one already. But
right,
tell a
Gerald,
story that hasn't
that's
been
right.
told.
Gerald, you don't... Let me give you an example. When Jackie tore Michael Raines up in the courtroom, and Jackie told the truth about everything, did the media print that?
No, they did not.
Okay. When Oscar Grant was called a nigger, did the media print that?
Nope.
Okay, but when something came out positive for Johannes Mesley, did the media run with that?
All the time.
Okay, this is what I'm saying. So you know they're not going to be fair. You know
that,
what I'm saying?
That is
we know,
correct.
We know this. But if you're looking for media attention, which I'm not saying we are, but I'm just saying, in order for something to be a success, you got to make it a success.
We did, brother.
No, you did. And the community knows it. The police know it. And the city officials know it. And they recognize that. They even went to the media and they recognize that. But the media is not going to recognize it because they want more self-destruction. They want shit to carry on.
No, they don't want our people organized and conscious. They fear us. I ain't never seen so much fear of the black planet. But I would say this one thing, Jack. I got to say this one thing. And I'm not real big on police negotiations. I'll admit it. Mm. But you know what? Y'all did that guy was decent. This police officer acted with a certain amount of dignity. And, I'm going to tell you. See, you keep talking about this mayor stuff. I'm going to have to get you here so we can really talk about it. Because I remember.
Well, I'll be there next week, bro.
Okay, good. Okay. But look, in the meantime, Jack, why don't you tell us anything you want to for the next 2 minutes because we got to get on with our little program. Tell me something, baby.
I'm just hoping that this, what everyone should do is just start flooding Robert Perry's courtroom with letters asking people to ask from the people of the community from Oakland and Los Angeles, flood his courtroom with letters asking that this man gives Johannes Mesley no mercy. He didn't give Oscar Grant no mercy. And now he's coming out with this letter. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
garbage.
For it to happen.
The letter's garbage.
The letter's garbage. Because you know what? You know how you know the letter's garbage? Because here we go. Like some other people, they forget. If he was truly sorry, he would have said what we did to Oscar Grant and those young men. He would have been truly sorry. You see? Because them young men were beaten and put in jail likewise. Like Jackie said, when they was in that police station, they was giving each other high fives, joking around, and you better believe Johannes Mesley was one of those guys walking around, joking around after this happened. So he deserves no mercy.
That's right.
No mercy.
No mercy. Thank you very much, Jack. As
I'm not
usual.
Finished, bro. I'm not finished.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, sir.
And we also have to do, now we have an opportunity. There's a Department of Justice investigation on. We have to put pressure on the Department of Justice, just like we put the pressure on the DA. Now we have
How?
To start going to the Department of Justice in front of their building. We want justice for Oscar Grant. We, like I told the media, not only do we only want justice for Oscar Grant, we want what's done is right. We want them to start changing that bullshit. If you're black and you've been in contact with any type of police officers, if you've been pulled over, if you've been given a ticket, if you've been racial profiled by the police, you do not qualify to be on the jury when a young black man is in trouble. But if you're white and you're related to police officers or your next door neighbor
is clearly wrong.
Officer,
you're absolutely right, Jack.
If you are absolutely correct. If your neighbor is a police officer, if your mother bakes cookies for the police officer, if he's an in-law or you play basketball or you lift weights for the police, anything that's white that's in contact with the police officer, you get the red carpet to the jury to become a juror. Where's the fairness in that? And not only that, this is what else I asked Mayor Ron Bellums through the media. I asked him, not only did the Department of Justice look into the Oscar Grant murder, but look into every motherfucking police officer that took that stand and committed perjury. Yes. Big time perjury. Little Kim in New York went to prison for a year for committing perjury. Marion Jones, also black, went to jail for a year for committing perjury.
Oh, and by the way, just recently in Chicago, this guy John Burge, the guy who tortured.
He was a police chief. He wasn't the chief.
He was the captain.
Captain.
But he still tortured people to force them to confess to murders that they did not commit. He was recently found guilty of perjury and sent to prison.
Okay.
So
and that's what I'm,
by the way, can I just say this too?
Go ahead.
In defense of our little rally, or it wasn't a little rally, it was actually a decent, strong rally, militant rally, continually, we let anybody who wanted to speak, speak. So people, this was reflected the consciousness of our community to a certain degree. I continuously heard people say, and that guy Peroni need to go to jail too.
That's right.
Continuously. So what you're saying is actually a reflection of what the community feels.
Exactly. And I mean, we're not going to get it done as a community if we keep our mouths shut. You know, just like, you know, Peroni fired, Dominici fired, you know what I'm saying? Mesley sitting in jail. Okay. I mean, those are victories. Believe it or not, even the fact that after some lawyers explained it to me that this man might not got what we wanted, but this man is in jail right now. This man may be looking at 14 years. The least he could do is 5 years. No, it's not what we want, but goddamn, I've met a lot of parents through this whole thing, and these police officers then shot their kids, went on vacation for a month or two, came back, got their job. Some of them were promoted and drove by these family members laughing. You see what I'm saying? This motherfucker doesn't have an opportunity to do that. Right now, this motherfucker sitting in Los Angeles County Jail right now. What do you think he's thinking about?
We don't care what he's thinking about. He's in the right place where he needs to be. Let him rock there, bro. I care.
Gerald, so what do you think he's thinking about? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, but you know what? He's in trouble. I know that.
He's in trouble. Don't you think he's thinking about that? Now, he thinks that this system is unfair to him because he's a white police officer. He killed a young black man, but he's sitting in jail. The rabbit has the gun now, and he can't understand this.
No, he can't.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, when they said, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't what I wanted. But when Reigns got up to saying this man is a good man to the community, this man this, this man that, he's been coming to court. Please, Your Honor, let this man stay out. Judge Robert Perry said, you know what? And I thought about that. I've been thinking about that. But he said, I can't do it. It would be a slap in the face into the community if I let this man go. So he told the sheriff to arrest him. They walked over, tapped him on his shoulder. His family started crying. They handcuffed him. And just like any other black or brown man, he got took through that door while court was in session. That was that felt cool. But how long is he going to be behind there? You know what I mean?
Okay, Jack.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We have to flood Robert Perry's chambers with letters.
All right. Well, that's one thing we hear right now. I'm sure our listeners hear, and that's not that hard to do. So, you know, tell the judge to give him the max.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
And I want to thank you for that, Jack. But we're going to move on ahead now. Is that all right with you, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thank you for calling us, brother, and I'll check you later.
Okay.
That was a pretty thorough discussion, but let me go on back. At Fresno, we had Justice for Oscar Grant celebration protest. All right? Oscar Grant III, we know, was executed by the BART officer John Mesley on January 1st, 2009, at the Fruitvale station of the BART, outside of, the Fruitvale station. He was shot in Oakland. Due to the massive actions in the streets, Mesley was arrested and became the first officer ever charged with the murder they committed on the job. His verdict will be coming out and has come out. But I thought it was very interesting that we had an accompanying rally in Fresno. Okay? I'm trying to look over. So we had L.A. Los Angeles was in solidarity with the Bay Area and the struggle for justice for Oscar Grant. And I think, it's very positive. I'm looking at a picture right now of the L.A. Oscar Grant demo at Leimert Park in South Los Angeles. Thursday, January the 8th. Wow. It touches my heart to see this. Okay? Leimert Park. Jail Killer Cops Justice Now. So we have... That's good. This is a sign. That's what the signs say. Jail Killer Cops Justice Now. Very good. Very good. All right. We have an Oscar Grant Solidarity Demo in Indiana. On January the 6th, 20 people demonstrated in memory of Oscar Grant and in solidarity with local victims of police violence in Bloomington, Indiana. Bloomington, is that your college town in Indiana?
Right. That's where Indiana University is.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And so it says here, I'm reading you. I have pictures of this rally in front of me right now. It says, Oscar Grant murdered. Shame on police. Against police control. Permanent struggle. All around the Midwest, people are watching and waiting for the verdict in the Mesley trial. In Bloomington, we called a demo for tonight in case it came down today and to continue our response to the local police. Particularly as we've witnessed recent cop violence in Pierre, they're talking about, this is a letter from Bloomington, again and again. And we know that this problem is systematic and won't ever be solved by any court. But we're paying close attention to the possibility of a very different solution being posed in California and all over the country. And we are waiting for an opportunity to extend it. This was very significant what happened. Also from Fresno, police officers' memorial was vandalized in Fresno. In solidarity with the Oscar Grant protests in Oakland, concerned citizens in Fresno vandalized police officers' memorial. Because police show so little respect for the life of the people they so viciously gunned down, that is Oscar Grant, concerned citizens in Fresno vandalized a police officer's memorial in Fresno's Courthouse Park. They say tonight, so this was Thursday. If the cops aren't going to show any respect for the people they are supposed to protect and serve, we are not going to show any respect for their fallen. The actions of the police in Oakland tonight also show their disrespect for justice in general. Their heavy-handed violence towards protesters just reinforces their total disconnect with the people of Oakland. Talk about outside agitators. No justice, no peace. Fuck the police. That's Fresno, my friend.
About sums it up right there.
Hey,
Oh no, I mean that's another political message, saying that at this point you have mistreated the people of this country so bad that we're not even going to respect the fallen police officers.
Spit on their grave.
Yes, that's right. Because every time they go and shoot someone in the back, pull the trigger, they're spitting on our graves right there. All the people who came before us and have struggled against that shit, they spitting on them. So,
wow. You know what?
If you want, like the thing said, if you want to protect and serve. But if you want to, taser and shoot, then you know there's going to be resistance against that.
That's right. Here now from Seattle. Seattle protesters' latest outrageous miscarriage of justice is what they say. And they're talking about the verdict. These are pictures from the protest in Seattle in solidarity with the people of Oakland. Johannes Nesley was given a slap on the wrist, they say. No justice, no peace. We are all Oscar. So they show here Seattle substation. Concerned community members from Seattle and Olympia. From Seattle and Olympia. All right, the people know, like, you know, Seattle is over in Puget Sound, you know, big port area. And then Olympia is just, what, 50 miles from it?
I don't know the exact geography.
Cities, but it's
no.
Close.
Yeah, they're close.
So people from Seattle and Olympia took to the streets of Seattle, Washington, outraged over the verdict of involuntary manslaughter in the murder of Oscar Grant by Oakland police officer Johannes Nesley. Many of you may be familiar with the case of the black teenager who was punched by a Seattle officer for jaywalking. If not, they give you a little background here. You'll have to Google that teenager punched by officer in Seattle. This comes on the heels of another videotaped outrage at the hands of a Seattle Police Department officer, this time with a Mexican so-called suspect. However, some of the people are fighting back, and so they have their own local issues. And cops get away with murder is what the graffiti says on the police station. But they didn't show a picture of the rally itself. They did have a rally in Seattle, and bully for them. Now, coming on home. So now we get to talk about we saw. Well, let me just say this. It was not just individuals. Organizations denounced the verdict. The National Lawyers Guild criticized the Nesley verdict as gross injustice. Now, what is the National Lawyers Guild? Why don't you share that with us, young man? Earn your keep around here.
Hey, right. The National Lawyers Guild is kind of they've taken on the role as being the legal representation for struggle, for protests, for, you know, anybody who gets caught up in a cause that they feel is worthy, they're willing to go to bat for them and do the necessary legal work and try to get them, one, out of jail as quickly as possible, two, as the limited amount of charges as possible. So,
and also they come out and they serve as legal observers.
Right.
They
right.
give legal, I don't want to say coaching, but advice to various community and left and labor organizations.
Right, exactly.
So the National Lawyers Guild is a left-wing lawyers organization.
Right.
It's different from the American Civil Liberties Union in that the American Civil Liberties Union likes to stick with more the big theoretical questions about free speech and this and that, you know, about specific laws that were passed and things like that. And but they help too. But the National Lawyers Guild is a little bit more active.
The NLG will get down and dirty because they're a lot of times their legal observers also get arrested. And yeah, so they are definitely one of the very integral parts of any type of struggle when you're going out there and you're going to demonstrate. And then they'll even go as far as to set up things beforehand for people who know they're going to be there and, you know, maybe willing to be arrested. Like that, we had the little operation on Bart to get rid of Peroni, and that we set up because there were people that were willing to get arrested.
Which, by the way, worked. Well, I think it's important to say the action that was taken, where people went on the Bart and sabotaged the Bart very temporarily, but they did sabotage the Bart. Well, could you? I just want to say that happened, and that was just a little bit more pressure to force Bart to do what they knew they should have done from the beginning, and that is fire Peroni. Would you just briefly explain the nature of this sabotage that took place? It was not antisocial, in my opinion, in any way. Would you please just share that briefly with us so people know what we're talking about?
Yeah, just briefly, and we covered this back right after it happened, also on Radical Perspective. But we went and said we were going to disrupt Rush Hour BART at Embarcadero Station in San Francisco. So this is their big, this is their money station right there. You know, any trains going out, any trains coming in go through Embarcadero. So we just went down there. We had a big group of people, and we were, our intent was to stop trains. So people were a little nervous at how many police officers down there. But anyway, we ended up doing like, you know, just going on, because we had this big group. So what we would do, we would just slowly go on and off the trains from Embarcadero to Powell. And that in itself, like getting 200, 300 people on and off trains takes a little time. And that was kind of the disruption. We slowed it down. We were chanting, "No justice, no rush." And
well, exactly how long did the disruption actually take?
We did it from about 4:30 to 6. That's kind of what we were holding up trains and delaying rush hour for about an hour and a half down there on the platform. Police presence was huge. However, only one arrest that entire time. And there was a nice energy down there because we had the Brass Liberation Orchestra, and we had passengers also coming up and saying, thank you for doing this. You know, we're glad that you're here. And, you know, you had your other people who were pissed, but you're always going to have a mixed bag. You know, you're never going to get complete acceptance for your actions. But that's, you know, happened a while ago, and Peroni did shortly after that get fired. He may have been already on the way out. However, we're just, you know, you got to put pressure. It would depend on almost a year and a half of this fool and his girlfriend on paid leave. Who his girlfriend, Domenici, was also released. And they released her before they released him, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, let me just give you the press release by the National Lawyers Guild in San Francisco. Because, well, here it is. The San Francisco Bay Area chapter of the National Lawyers Guild condemns the involuntary manslaughter verdict in the criminal case against former BART police officer Johannes Meiser. The trial judge, Robert Perry, acted inappropriately by allowing the irrelevant information about the victim, Oscar Grant, before the jury. The verdict is a painful example of what we already know. The criminal justice system treats white police officers with deference and poor people of color with hostility, said Carlos Villarreal, National Lawyers Guild Executive Director. It is shameful that irrelevant aspects of Grant's past were put before the jury, and troubling that the jury included no African Americans. There has been much attention on the potential for violence in the aftermath of this verdict, and the National Lawyers Guild is also concerned with the potential for violence. We are extremely concerned with the possibility that law enforcement will treat any street actions, with or without vandalism, as an excuse to violate the rights of civilians in potentially violent ways, said T. Brusco, National Lawyers Guild president. Last year, Oakland police made a number of arrests of activists and journalists during uprisings in response to Grant's killing and the lack of response from the district attorney and other authorities. Roughly 166 actually, were arrested, with fewer than a dozen ultimately prosecuted, mostly for minor offenses. Most of those were ultimately dropped. Despite the claims of the Oakland Police Department, the vast majority of the arrestees were from Oakland and surrounding Bay Area. Okay? So the National Lawyers Guild has a history of opposing police violence and regularly sends legal observers to political actions and protests throughout the Bay Area. The organization has hundreds of trained legal observers who are on call and prepared to monitor the actions of local law enforcement. Criminal defense and civil liberties lawyers are also on call. Thank you very much for that statement, National Lawyers Guild, and let us go see. What we got here is a letter about Oakland's verdict. The recent verdict of involuntary manslaughter in the criminal case brought against Johannes Meiser reveals the duplicitous scandal of the enforcement of law and its participation in institutionalized and violent racism against black and brown people in America. Now we're starting to get down. Okay, let's go. This criminal case is far from a unique story in this country's history. It is not just about an instance that involves this one police officer and this young black African-American man. This case is about the terrifying and truthful reality of state brutality and state violence in America that has been legally sanctioned by a line of work that calls itself public protection. This reality is fact. It must not be buried behind the scenes of dramas of courtrooms, the limelight of police-sponsored corporate media frenzy, or exhaustive deliberations about agitators who may pose as outsiders to Oakland City. Let's not get the story twisted. This case reflects a reality about violence in America. This is not an issue of violence enwrapped in homicide statistics or, quote, stop the violence tactics. No, this is violence. This is extra legal violence. Is and has been a political reality that our society and city must contend with. What function does the black body have in our political democracy? What function does handcuffing a young black man to stop a sign in broad daylight and asking him to lift up his nuts while being searched or habitually detained on the streets have with a free and liberal society? Think about it. You know, it is what we have become accustomed to accepting in the way the police go along behind these little dope dealers, you know, and they treat us all as if we poison in our own communities. Well, not true, and it has to stop, because they don't do no damn good in stopping that shit no way. I hate to say it, I don't like seeing people addicted to crack. It's terrible, but I can see now why it has to be legalized, because we have to be able to get to the bottom of these problems without the so-called expertise of the pigs who simply profit from it. They sure did get a lot of overtime during this Oscar Grant episode, let me tell you. So right now, we have got DJ Adversary here in the house with us, and we about to hit the road, y'all, because we have, I think, fully ventilated the various issues surrounding our successful rally that took place between 6 and 8 on July 8th. We had some interesting interviews with Jack Bryson, and I covered all of the demonstrations that I knew about, that I had something, you know, to share with you about. Seattle, Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana, Fresno, you know, L.A. We talked about all of that, and we'll talk about a lot more at our next program, Radical Perspectives, next Saturday, 10 o'clock. Thank you very much for listening.